CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2000.
I'm sorry. You'll have to excuse my partner. He gets a little excited, tells everybody he's the captain of Team Bring It. Sadly enough, the only thing he's brought in the last 7 years is a bunch of crappy messages via satellite.
And you'll have to excuse The Rock's partner, because clearly he's not used to having the support of someone who's already reached puberty.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
I am so sick of this.
Excuse my partner. Excuse my partner.
Excuse me.
Really?
I said excuse me!
Oh, there we go.
Really?
I think Vicky Guerrero would have saved that segment and could potentially have saved that entire damn show. Unfortunately, we seem to have a bad ratio of wrestling to MMA this week, with 3 hours of Raw and 68 seconds of UFC. So, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 199 of the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I officially have a shirt. And here to brag about it, is Mr. Jim Williams.
You can buy the official Nikki F. and Heyman shirt. Hopefully it will process properly. Otherwise, we've got a backup plan B, smirk, at williamswear.clw83.com. Click on the CLW83Wear button, and it's available for 20% off if you use a specific code. Go to the NAWC Facebook page, and you can get that code, hint, hint.
And along with us for the ride tonight is somebody who also was disappointed at 68 seconds of work, VRM.
Disappointed at 64 seconds of work. But more disappointed in 180 minutes of so-called work, which only had three saving graces. Number one, Colt tapping out like a little bitch. Two, The Rock promo, which is, of course, awesome because it is a Rock promo. And three, and I know Nikki will look cringe about this because it's reminiscent of somebody else's T-shirt, who she despises because of said T-shirt. Arrive, rock bottom, leave.
Sadly, if we say that loud enough, it probably will sell. And finally, our other numbers man, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Good evening, everyone. That and also well. I did infinitely more work than the UFC main event today.
And I'm going to go ahead and bring him in, but he was making a little bit of noise earlier all the way out on the West Coast, Robert Q. Seidelman.
UFC lost their virginity to Fox in 1 minute in the first round. Oddly enough, it took me 3 rounds to lose mine.
And if you could kindly mute the game show in your background, Rob, we will definitely continue on that. I will admit I actually had the opportunity to watch the match from the comfort of a sushi bar here in Eden Prairie. Thoroughly enjoyed the briefness of it. The party at the sushi bar lasted a whole lot longer. And if Dana White's words in a recent lawsuit in New York were correct, Brock, you should have cashed in, man! You could have jumped up, taken that suit off faster than Edge took off his tux at Mind of Mencia and killed everybody! What's the matter with you? You're a fighter. You're healthy. Kill, sick, hurt, maim, die.
Okay.
I'm kind of
disappointed. I seriously want you to turn that game show off.
Robert apparently doesn't know how to listen.
he gets to listen to the rest of the show.
Potato salad.
Does this also qualify as a chair shot?
I'm not even gonna be that nice. Seidelman.
When you decide not to be lame anymore, give me a call.
Oh!
Pony chicken time.
No.
Sorry, guys.
For future, I don't want understood. For future reference, should I include a snippet of the great Chubby Checkers, It's Pony Time, on the soundboard? No, I'm just asking.
The what?
There's a song called Pony Time.
Yeah.
I want to hear it before we put it on the
Okay, all right. Well, moving on. I'm sorry. Digress.
No. You're fine. I hate to say it, but you know, UFC just had a very bad showing, given that they had almost 9 million eyeballs on their premiere episode that essentially turned into a Mike Tyson boxing pay-per-view VRM.
Yeah, when you have that KO to the punches, that basically means one thing. They stood up, they slugged, and someone was dropped instantaneously.
So, it's just a huge facepalm. That's why what I read, this popped up on Cage Side Seats, which is, of course, one of our, just a stunning pillar of journalism, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, of course.
But, the thing is, though, that they backed it up with the actual paperwork from the lawsuit. Now, I'm not going to read the whole legal rigmarole, and Jason's not on this week, so I can't have him step in and be our legal advocate for all this.
Are we talking about our the constitutionality suit against the city of New York?
Yes.
Oh, my.
And allow me to read, and allow me to quote Article 124. Live professional MMA is not just a sporting event. It is also entertainment and theater. The fighters are athletes and performers both. Live professional MMA matches provide fighters with myriad expressive outlets, allowing fighters to build relationships with their fans and tell the world their story. The expression in these live events begins far outside the cage, is carried into it, and continues when the fighters exit. Professional MMA has, over the years, developed its own unique pageantry and tradition. Many fans come for this complete story.
And when you think of great MMA traditions, of course you think of Elite XC on CBS, people throwing down right in front of Cuss Johnson. That's just the greatest tradition of them all.
Let me sum it all up for you.
Yep.
It's a work, brother!
Thank you.
Now I understand why you envied that in the middle of the show last night.
I couldn't resist VRM. And actually, I think Typho had the best answer for that. He said, "If that's true, then TNA Creative took care of the match on over the weekend."
Oh,
hi-o. Quite possibly. I mean, that, you know, Jason, you know, not to keep picking a person who's not here down. He called me like 8:55. Jim, are you watching it? I'm like, watching what? UFC, you idiot. I'm like, oh, that, yeah. So he got me to watch it, and there was 55 minutes of my life that I won't ever get back. I mean, the presentation was good, and as I've often said, nothing says UFC Fight Night like the NFL on Fox theme. I mean, yes. Just break out Cletus. No. But, you know, I mean, the presentation was good. It's just, I know they can't have the undercard fights because of the agreement with Spike that's going till year's end. But you got to believe next time they do this for UFC 2 on Fox, they're going to have some undercard fights and maybe make it a 2 or 3 hour presentation. You have to believe.
I just, you know, this. I feel bad for them for that broadcast, but once this lawsuit came out, now I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. You know, when I discussed, well, I did discuss this, and yes, Jason, we're going to pick on you all night. I discussed
this
with Jason.
It'll be the first
Yeah, seriously. And the question came up. Did Dana White just inadvertently take his organization and make it jump a shark?
I don't know if that has happened yet. The next few showings of UFC on Fox should be able to say more or less, hey, is this going to be real, or is this a piece of crap that shouldn't have made it?
Well, let's look at some of the other things. Like, one, why was it a short match? Because it was heavyweights. These are the guys that, with the exceptions of very few, basically are the guys that like to swing away as if it was boxing. There are a few that do make things happen on the ground. We've seen Frank Mir do it. We've seen, to a lesser extent, Lesnar do it. We've seen Randy Couture do it. And we've seen several of the more wrestling-related and jiu-jitsu-related fighters do it. Cain Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos, boom! And remember, even some of the lower weights could have this happen. But one of the matches that they probably wish they could have put on the card was the number one contenders match for the lightweight title with Guida and Henderson.
But again, the way they're everything contract wise, they probably couldn't. So
yeah. Well,
and that's a contract issue.
And that kind of worries me, because if they can't do any serious undercard and this keeps happening once they get into the new year and that contract expires and they're going to be able to actually do something, they'll have already lost half their audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to be the big test. It's going to be the big test with the next, the next edition of UFC on Fox. Also, because the ratings for this one were comparable to one of the American League Championship Series games, so that just tells you how far baseball's down in the gutter. They are now like the fourth sport or third sport now in North American lexicon, and MMA is on the rise. It's mind-boggling, quite frankly.
Then again, I'm afraid I realize that.
Yeah, it's important that if I can get a little bit some numbers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So numbers wise for UFC on Fox, which is sandwiched between two UFC pay-per-views, or actually, my mistake. On one end is sandwiched with a UFC pay-per-view, and the other it's got a UFC pay-per-view and a free-to-play from London, or wherever it was in the United Kingdom, for a 138. So averaging 5.7 million. Which compared to Elite XC's Kimbo Slice card, is about 60% higher. Kimbo Slice averaged 4.9, and ratings peaked at around 8.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of some other attendance numbers, official attendance was 11,607, with paid about 9,864. However, this there was another original. This is about 3,000 less than what the original prediction, the original announcement at the post-fight press conference was of 14,019. Despite that, gate receipts were reported as 1.1 million. They were close. Official gate receipts released by the California State Athletic Commission totaled $1,072,187. However, there isn't much in revenue, because fighter payroll was about $654,000.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
also, unknown fact, Dana White suit, $100 off a rack at Kmart. Just saying.
Ouch.
Damn. Okay, guys. I'm going to try to get Seidelman back in here.
Okay. Take two.
Much better. I like it when it's quiet in the backgrounds of the respective studios.
I told Dick Clark to shut up.
That's not
How
very
dare
nice.
You? He's a legend. He's rocking. You're probably right.
Okay, so now that we're done facepalming at MMA, let's facepalm a little bit at Raw.
Well, that shouldn't be too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Really? 3 hours of what they called Raw gets rocked. I would have mm-hmm. been a little more satisfied if we could have reversed the times for The Rock and Michael Cole.
Mm-hmm.
That was a painful first segment. I mean, nothing says, let's get off to a big 3-hour show like a Michael Cole challenge.
Now, to be fair, I was glad they started with that because I was like, good, we're going to get this over with. Michael Cole's going to go away. JR's going to go back to the table for the show, and I can actually watch it without having it on mute.
And it can be and they can also waste it in the pointless extra hour.
Well,
and you thought that, but you thought.
I can't say it on TV, but I can say it on internet radio. But I'll have somebody else say it for me.
Exactly.
Although watching JR dance was pretty interesting.
That's not the damn word for it.
I'm trying to be nice.
I want my brain bleach.
I wanted Punk to break Cole's freaking neck. You would have been a face forever, Punk. Come on. Oh, wait.
No, I'm sorry!
You just don't know how sorry you are, Michael Cole.
Yes, pitiful sorry. Yes.
Well, this show, it's not just this. The fact that, you know, Rock had, this show was supposed to be Rock-centric. I think Rock had a total of 15 minutes airtime. Starting with the utterly ridiculous, you know, this segment sucks so bad, I'm going to come out early and kill Mick Foley.
And Cena was getting a little pissed off at the segment, I think.
He was dropping Shockmaster lines, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hands up. Did anybody think that they didn't tell Cena they were going to do this to him?
Yeah.
More than likely not.
Just judging from his reactions.
Yeah. By the way, Nikki, some information. They actually did this with The Rock 10 years ago.
Oh, no. I knew about this. This was the highest rated segment ever in Raw history.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. This is the third time we've seen this. The first time, I didn't see it live, but I've watched it. The first time was awesome. The second time when they revisited it for the WrestleMania it was WrestleMania 20, right? Or is it no? It wasn't 20.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was later, I think.
When they revisited it for Rock and Sock versus Evolution,
that was
20. Yeah, that was a little. It felt a little stale. This time though, it was no.
And I think the only thing I got out of it was a subtle shout out to two of my super fan friends who I'm going to repeat the shout out for. When Foley was trying to keep Cena in the segment, I've got five other people in the back ready to meet you, and he starts talking about this chick. Cena says, "Well, who are you going to bring out next? Frank the Clown? WWE's biggest fan?"
Yes.
These are Twitter handles to two super fans, one of which I believe was actually in attendance that night. Frank the Clown is a guy you'll see in a lot of front row shots. He's the one in the rainbow, usually wearing a rainbow haired wig. WWE's biggest fan is a guy I know out of Indiana who attends way too many shows, as in twice as many as I do. And typically, somehow, some way, he doesn't always broker, but he usually can get to a ticket window day of the show and still get himself a front row seat, spit side. Makes me jealous. But hey, more power to him.
What type of connections does that guy have?
See, that's the thing. Skinny John doesn't have any connections. He does what I call ticket roulette. He goes to a show. He's willing to drive several hours to a show without a ticket. And then he hovers around will call and the other ticket windows to wait for releases when tickets get turned back in if they haven't been claimed. And these are usually tickets that were put together for like radio giveaways or tickets for the wrestlers to give to their friends and whatever. Some of those come back in and he grabs some of those. The only time I did it with him, I ended up in the freaking nosebleeds.
And where did he end up?
Sitting right next to me, but he left in the middle of the show. The only reason he actually stuck around was because this was a Raw in Cleveland that Hogan was making a semi-surprise appearance, and we just couldn't get seats. I stayed because I wasn't going to drive 2 hours to watch half a show. And the only good thing I got out of it was... Nope, not going to say it on the air. Something about video. Anyway. But Raw just was not what I was expecting for A, a Rock-centric show, and B, a go-home show for Survivor Series. Did this show inspire anybody here to even pursue getting Survivor Series, or would it have changed your mind one way or the other if you were still trying to make up your mind?
Well, it did change my mind, because now I'm not going to waste my time going to StubHub and trying to find a ticket to go into New York City on Sunday night. Not only for the fact that I have that, but also for the fact that I have a job out in Pennsylvania on early Monday morning, and I don't want to waste my life having to deal with trains and driving into the city or whatnot. But this totally turned me off. So The Rock's going to be there. I think he's the only saving grace of the show, of the card right now. Let's see. What really did we get in terms of build? They actually had the month to build this entire pay-per-view. And the build has sort of fallen flat on its face.
Right. Now, Jim, you had a thought?
Well, I mean, what it comes down to is, excuse me, they really didn't forward any of the storylines Monday night. Or if they did, it was tangentially at best. I mean, they were throwing things out there just for the sake of throwing things out there. It was just kind of discombobulated, really.
Seidelman, what do you think?
I watched it. I thought about maybe getting the pay-per-view, but after watching that Raw, this is going to sound weird, but I thought of actually turning off the TV and actually wanting to read a book.
Stat Boy, your thoughts?
For this being what? WWE's third or fourth biggest fourth biggest pay-per-view of the year, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
This is a royal disappointment. Not even trying to forward your storylines, giving 3 more hours to Blowjob and Rock?
And even
seriously?
Then, yeah. Even then, you know, Rock wasn't out there long enough for anybody to... Never mind.
Yeah.
But you go back and you take a look at the last couple of weeks... Miz and Truth have had no chance whatsoever to make you feel compelled to say, oh boy, I hope The Rock and I hope Cena can get them because they did this, this, and this, because they did nothing! They did absolutely nothing!
Right.
It's all been talk, 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 talk. Last I remember, action speaks a hell of a lot more than just talking.
And here's where, and Josh, you're not forgetting one thing. I'm not answering that.
Okay.
Ring.
Ninja, please.
Thank you. Here's the one thing. When Rock and Cena were together, they've always got one up on The Miz and R-Truth. I mean, for even 3 weeks ago, Cena's one upped them. So it's, and then the only time Miz and Truth were even to get one leg up on Cena was by holding Cena's leg down. That's it.
Puns!
It works. But yeah, this is you know, this has really disappointed me. Up till Monday, I always really was looking forward to this pay-per-view. I'm sure things got a little shaky backstage with the fact that Christian had to be pulled, and once again, Dolph Ziggler's pulling double duty, which I'm sure he's very happy about. I don't think you get paid twice, Ziggles, but
you should.
I mean,
at this point, I think it's approaching hazard pay for him. Now, what is this, his second straight pay-per-view pulling double?
Yeah, yep. And he'll brag on it. He'll be bragging about it on Twitter all weekend. Just, you know, just stay tuned.
Oh, hold on. I think I'm getting a call. Manhattan Screwjob! Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, so you want to talk about the minor addition of the fact that Ziggles is going to defend his U.S. title against Jomo, which I'm going to try to keep my cool here.
Try not to get too giddy.
No. You don't understand. I would like to be all kind of giddy about it, because yes, it is Jomo and Ziggles, which gives me 14 good reasons to watch this match.
Oh my gosh!
Anyway.
Oh no! Wait,
I
just thought
of
something.
They each have 7 abs. Wow, I didn't know that.
No.
No, 16.
No.
Ziggles
actually have 8.
Yeah, Ziggles got 8 now.
Okay, so 16. 16. Now you got me even more interested.
Oh my gosh!
Anyway.
Me and my big mouth.
But what the problem is, I've got this nagging thing in the back of my mind, and somebody almost got punched out over this before the show, that with Jomo's future in question, is this the last carrot that they dangle in front of him to try to get him to stay? Because... Granted, he has had a rough year. Some of it is related to injuries. Some of it, we have all these wonderful stories and allegations between the whole Trish Stratus thing leading up to Mania, then Melina getting completely mental on everybody. You know, half of this isn't even Jomo's fault. And he said on Twitter that he's trying to get himself refocused. He's had an interview on WWE.com where he's talking about getting refocused. I would like to see him get refocused and actually get back into the game, but stay with the Fed.
Well, if you go to WrestleChat.net, it is reported, or there are reports that he may be reaching out to some independent promotions. Don't know what that's exactly about.
Well, one of...
He's probably testing the water, seeing, hey, how much am I worth?
And,
which is understandable.
No, it's fair. You know, it's
but you're
something
not gonna
that,
get. You're not going to get the payday you're going to get from the E. Forget about it.
Exactly. So, you know, at least I know he's going to stick around, at least get one more good paycheck. And if he has a good enough showing at Survivor Series, maybe they can sweeten the deal a little bit, get him to sign, and then put him in another three or four or five star worthy match like his ladder match with Sheamus about this time last year.
I got an idea.
Uh-oh.
If he does re-sign, here's what I do. I give him 30 minutes in the Rumble plus a slot in the Chamber, and he gets featured there. He doesn't win, but he regains a lot of his credibility back that he lost over the past year and a half.
I would just, you know, if that would get him back in the groove and get him properly motivated to stick around, and if... You know, for crying out loud, he just wants to get him. You know, he just wants to get back in the swing of things, whether it's swinging off the roof of the Chamber. Or... Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I just got momentarily distracted. I think it's something going on with my computer.
Oh, I thought you meant. Never mind. Okay. Now the
old. These guys are still doing this pile of. He's still here.
Yes, he's still here, and he said...
Blah, blah, blah. How do we know it's a he?
Well, I refer to most machinery and vehicles as male just because they're just as much trouble as females can be. Anyway, the anonymous general manager sends me a picture, actually.
Ah, picky time. Picture.
Yeah. His picture is essentially saying, sorry that DJ couldn't make it tonight, but he also wanted to say that Jimmy Wang Yang says hi.
Uh-huh.
Aha.
Sweet. Oh, that's why. DJ's in Dayton. He's at the Ring of Honor show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Now let's see what else the GM has to say. The go home to Survivor Series was actually salvaged with SmackDown. Make sure you touch on that as we go into the second segment of the show. Unfortunately, you still have a lot of other bad news to talk about. Don't remind me. But yeah, we've still got quite a bit that we're gonna have to talk about on the show. But apparently the GM wants us to pay some bills. So, gentlemen, sit back, relax, get something to drink, run to the restroom if you need to. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with the second half of the show.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the phone, Chatman! I have to hit you again!
On the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. Williams Ware is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com, click the CLW 83 Ware button, and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Entertainment news, exclusive interviews, thought-provoking discussion on pop culture and reality TV. Listen live every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, to Pop to Reality, where pop culture meets reality TV. Hosted by Jeff Weiss and Mark Roberts. Pop to Reality on Blog Talk Radio.
On Sunday night, a November tradition will return to the Big Apple.
Welcome to the world's most famous arena!
Madison Square Garden will play host to the 25th annual Survivor Series, and the North American Wrestling Connection will have you covered. Join Nikki Heyman and a panel of NAWC regulars for late-breaking news and pick'ems leading into the WWE's Fall Classic.
This is going to be one of the most memorable Survivor Series in the entire history of this company.
It's the NAWC Survivor Series Special, presented by WrestleChat.net. Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, live and only on the CLW 83 Network. Log on to blogtalkradio.com/CLW83Network to tune in. When Jason Block says it.
And I'm going to predict this right now. The Peyton Manning signing is a bust. Peyton Manning is a lot more hurt that they are letting on, and I think he's going to be out for most of this season somehow. I mean, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Tiger Woods before he, you know, went out for knee surgery for a year. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's like, oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. No, I'm not.
Take it to the pay winder. The BS Big Show on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hi, this is Carl Chenier, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
And welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection. We are in show number 199. Now, next week being Thanksgiving, I'm sure everybody is going to prefer being with their families or watching football or shopping or watching SmackDown with their head in their hands to kill their...
I'll be watching the Gravy Bowl match.
Yes. It's Gravy Bowl match. Come on.
And I know that's out there on YouTube somewhere. I, however, am going to be stuck at an airport somewhere trying to find my way back to Minnesota. So, but that's not going to keep us from December 2nd celebrating our 200th show.
Woo!
And we've got a lot planned for it. So, let me just play a little something for you guys.
It ain't easy being signy.
And then we have Shawn Michaels versus HBK. I mean, Shawn
Michaels versus HBK.
When is this a video game?
Well, you see, his one lazy eye is fighting his other eye, and that makes perfect sense.
Oh, good evening and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. I'm Harry Saturn. Yes, I've finally been downed.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's going, this is going on the highlight reel.
Wrestling, future endeavors. Thank you.
Well, with that said, we should actually end the show.
My house, bitch!
Ladies and gentlemen, I have officially taken over the show with the Royal Rumble 2008 chair.
Oh my God!
I dropped the bat with the chair.
So, good night, Mr. Gentleman, and good night from the North American Wrestling Connection. I feel so much better now.
Oh my God, boy, God bless.
Oh my God.
Who cares? It still hurts.
Guys.
The sad thing, though, is he's probably getting a rise off of that, which is weird because it's just a chair. I mean, you know.
No, it's a fall. He's flat on his face.
Oh. Well, it's been nice knowing you, Rob. Good night and good luck.
Good night, all.
Ow.
Can you whack him in the head for me, Nikki?
Please join us on December 2nd as we celebrate 200 episodes of the North American Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChat.net. Starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, only here on the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
So, while we're not going to have quite that level of violence on the show, or at least I'm not planning on it, we do have a couple of things planned. I'm going to do my best to have a guest on for some interviews.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do our first actual sit-down Room 101 / Pony Kick segment. We have not done an official one. We have not done an official Room 101 in a while, you guys. You realize that. Lately, we've just been grabbing people and just sending them away.
Mm-hmm.
But the other big thing that's coming up is the trivia rematch between Mr. Seidelman and Mr. Block. Now, Rob, I know you were listening to last week's show.
I was.
Were you?
Yeah, of course I was. What do you think I do on a Friday night?
Do you really want me to answer that on the air?
Yeah, really.
Wrong. I wish, though, but wrong. But anyways, I did listen to Mr. Block's challenge, per se, and first of all, it was Jim who mentioned the hair comment, not me.
Bring me into it, sure.
But, Jay, you're not going to be brought into this anymore. Jason, I'm like the Catch-21 bonus cards and the wheel. I own you.
Oh!
When it comes to wrestling, you know, bets, as it were. I mean, there's the WrestleMania one, and there's the 2009 trivia contest, which I rolled you 10-6. But since I'm not doing much of anything that for show 200, and plus this is supposed to be like our biggest show ever, is that right, Nikki?
That it is.
Something inside tells me I shouldn't because I have nothing to prove, but you only live once, Jason. I'll take on your challenge. However, I want one caveat to be made. I took your money once. I don't want it again. So, how about this? As we know, we're in the season of giving, right?
We are.
It's the Christmas season, and it's all about giving. So, I figure, instead of giving to each other, why don't we take the money, which would be $25.
And buy my t-shirt.
Sorry, Nikki.
What?
We're gonna give it to people a little more needing than that. The $25... The loser will donate $25 to WWE's favorite charity, the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
All right.
I'm
good with that.
Mr. Block, I know you're listening out there. How about that? Loser pays $25 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation so we can get John Cena to grant more wishes to more needing kids.
I'm good with this. I'm very good with this.
And on that fateful day, it was said that the Grinch's heart grew by 3. Wait a minute.
yikes!
Which one's the Grinch?
That'd be you, Seidelman. You've got the Hobbit hair kind of thing going there, sort of.
Bite me, Jimbo.
Well, no, then again, Block dresses the Grinch one. Completely just... Anyway, an elf. He was dressed as an elf, not a Grinch. Moving
damn
on.
Damn it, Tony! Go put on your tape somewhere else.
Okay.
Oh, he probably dressed up as a Grinch when he was on Turn It Up. Who knows?
Oh.
Now then, let's get on to some other bad news.
Yes.
What? Wait. Ooh. Did I see that right? I'll check back with that in just a moment. What I do need to pull up is something that we had talked about some months ago. You guys remember when we broke the news on the show regarding wrestler Andre Hart, aka Andre Davis.
Oh dear shit.
Ooh. Wasn't he the one spreading AIDS around?
Yeah.
Well, no, he's HIV positive. He doesn't have full blown AIDS.
Okay.
But his trial started this week. It's my understanding that they did try to offer him a plea deal, and he turned it down for a full-blown jury trial. Hmm. Which, to be honest, I don't know if that was the smartest thing to do, given that the prosecution has over a dozen women willing to step forward to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of like shooting yourself in the foot right there.
So I'm going to take some notes here from WLWT.com, which is the Cincinnati Network websites.
Channel 5 out there, I think.
Yeah, it's News Channel 5, the NBC affiliate out there.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing coverage all week, and I really haven't been able to read it, mainly mm-hmm. because, A, I can't read it during business hours, and, B, there's so much to sort through because, yeah, it's a court case.
Exactly.
Essentially, but the stories are very similar between most of the women. The fact that they, you know, they would meet up with him. They would have sex with him on and off over a course of months. He never once admitted or disclosed to them of his condition. Something that was also known, I'm trying to remember if I talked about this when I was working with Andre back in 2009. He had gotten some referee training when we had him at Pro Training Wrestling, Jimmy Yang's outfit. Andre was going to get a developmental deal as a referee, mainly because WWE was expanding their diversity program in that particular department. And that's why we had guys, that's probably why Nunzio worked as a referee for a stretch.
Bao Nguyen is in FCW as a ref.
Bao Nguyen, JJ and Tony, the two black refs that they have, and Zapata, their Hispanic ref who's been doing a lot of diva matches. He's probably their shortest ref. He's shorter than Charles Robinson. But you guys know JJ, he's the skinny black ref with the gaudy earrings who's usually stuck in the middle of the Divas matches as well. Tony hasn't been on TV yet. He's done house shows for the SmackDown brand. Hopefully he'll get on TV soon. I'm gonna shout out to Tony Chimmel, who decided to make fun of Tony with me standing there. Introduced myself to Tony, and Chimmel looked at me and looked at him and told him that I have been in the wrestling business longer than he has. But that's neither here nor there. But the trial is going on, and so far just everybody is pretty much telling the same story. The fact that they've had relations with him, he has not, you know, he did not disclose this. Apparently it might have been this that ultimately got him disqualified from becoming a referee in the WWE. And for the record, he never told other wrestlers that's why he got disqualified.
Mm.
So it's just a huge lose-lose situation for Andre, and I really want to feel bad for him. I'm trying to feel bad for him, but I can't. This is just something if you know that you're carrying a disease like this, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not male, so I can't identify this. So gentlemen, just help me out on this. If you were HIV positive, despite this case, would you disclose to a partner this?
Yes.
Even if it would cost you getting action that night?
Yes.
You have to, for the sake of thinking of the future, so that you don't put yourself in this kind of predicament that he's put himself in. You absolutely have to. I mean,
isn't it kind of the law in Ohio that
yes.
you have to disclose?
And that's why Andre's on trial, because he didn't disclose it, and that's why everybody came forward. It is technically felonious assault in Ohio.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. That's
so,
untold number of counts of felonious assault along with everything else.
Isn't this the same?
Go ahead.
Is this the same one who was also distributing the steroids, or is this another guy?
No, this is a whole other guy. Chris Carnage was the one that was doing the steroids distribution. And, yeah, mm-hmm. he's somebody I've worked with also. And just a footnote on that, when that broke, I did a little asking around and said I just thought that was a running joke in the locker rooms because he's a big guy. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to be knowing somebody who essentially was acting out the dealer scene in the wrestler. So, it's just a whole sad situation because Andre's not only going to have to combat the testimony of a dozen women, he also has to deal with an expert witness in Quest Diagnostics.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's screwed.
Yeah. Because that is a...
Quest Diagnostics? Never heard... Oh, my dear Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, I just found it.
I just heard the light bulb come on over there, Stat Boy.
Light bulb's not only on. Andre, enjoy rotting in hell.
You're done.
Yeah. I think
enjoy your 120 years in jail. Enjoy hell. You deserve it.
And lordy. I don't think I have to explain this. Quest Diagnostics is pretty much a national organization. They're the group that does blood testing for hospitals and doctors' offices, etc. They were the ones that did blood work that I would get when I was still, when I was still living in Ohio. I had to deal with them on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
These guys know what they're talking about. Andre,
they don't have around. Yeah.
Andre, you're screwed, and not in a good way.
in a good way, it wouldn't work.
No. It would be even worse, really.
Yeah. But that's what's going to happen in prison, anyways.
Eh, say hi to
Burn!
Brother.
Burn!
Yes. Indeed.
Thank you.
So, but... Trial is ongoing. I will, the show, as we go on in later episodes, I'm going to try to keep a closer eye on this and see if I can get any more information.
Okay.
But for the record, I'm going to give props to the NBC affiliate. While the victims' names are a matter of public record, the website, and I believe the TV station, is not using their names for the sake of privacy.
Yeah, that's a good thing, because, there's going to be inevitably people going after them and trying to, plea bargain with them behind the scenes also, so to change their story. I mean, money talks, bullshit walks, so.
Right.
That's the way it goes.
Really?
Again?
Sorry, guys. Give me just one second on this.
Bologna, fudge, and mustard. Another email.
No. Sorry to interrupt, but it sounded like you guys were stuck on a topic. If you guys need it, I've pulled the proper strings. You guys get another 30 minutes.
Woohoo! And you get another 30 minutes.
And...
You get another 30 minutes.
And
does that mean we have to take another commercial break?
No. We're good. It's just the fact that now we could keep on talking. If I'm not going to do pick-ems, but there's just a lot we can talk about.
There's a time and a place for pick-ems, and we'll mention that before we get off the air here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, you mentioned Jimmy Yang in Dayton. Is he actually going to go back to Ring of Honor like he did in 2005?
That's a question for DJ. And let me see if I can get an answer for you. Because let me see when he actually sent the picture. Oh, never mind.
I don't know if he may have sent.
No, the picture was sent about 6:30 Central, so
7:30 Eastern down in Dayton.
Yeah, so
that's
the show
roughly bell time.
Right. So let's just see.
Be a nice get for Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
No, sure.
Did Jimmy say if he was working Ring of Honor?
Because knowing Ring of Honor, they have a lot of good young talent and some good veterans, but they could use a couple more veterans to help bolster their young groups. Like Michael Elgin could use another veteran.
And not to mention
the Bravado brothers
and Mike Bennett.
Well, the Bravados are actually are fairly good. I've had the honor of working with them. I think actually Jimmy would be great in a, you know, at least in a trainer road agent role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
Makes
think
sense.
He, yeah, I don't see him being an on camera presence really. And you know he'd be a heck of a help. So, if I get an answer, I'll let you guys know. I sent a note to DJ to see if he'll give me an answer.
Okay.
So let's go to some happier things, especially now that we've got an extra 30 minutes to play. SmackDown did a much better job tonight in promoting Survivor Series, and the fact that they did it the way that, you know, we're used to, where they're focusing on the 5-on-5, which I know a couple of you guys have picked on me about the fact that I've said that you only order the Royal Rumble for the Rumble and nobody's going to remember the rest of the cards. In fact, Jim, you yourself have done that to me in an intro.
Well, I don't disagree necessarily. I was just being, devil's advocate there.
No, you're absolutely right. Because, I'm just saying, with the except, I can think of a couple other Rumbles where we had some good matches, Angle Benoit from 03. But when you think of Survivor Series, what do you think of first?
You think of the 30 or 40 man over the top row battle royal, of course.
I said Survivor Series.
Oh, Survivor Series, I'm sorry. My mind's in the gutter, don't mind me. No, you think of the 5-on-5 traditional matches.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
in my case, you think of Ray Combs going too long as a ring announcer. Yeah. 93, thank you.
No, you're fine. This is the first Survivor Series in a few years that we're only having one 5-on-5, though.
I thought we had two.
Nope.
As far as I know, we've only got the one. The Divas are doing.
Keep us honest.
The Divas are doing a lumberjill match. They're not doing a 5-on-5.
Oh.
The addition
that's
of the
powerful.
Pinup strong.
Okay.
I'm not even going to go into that. But they did do something else. You know, while we got all this promotion for the 5-on-5, we also got to see, you know, what kind of shape Christian's in, and that ankle injury, ouch! They showed a picture of it. His ankle and part of his calf was just swollen to twice its size, and he had a nice little bruise trailing up the Achilles tendon. Creepy. So yeah, I think he's gonna be gone for a little bit.
Wasn't this the injury he suffered in the overseas tour? The ankle I know is from the overseas tour.
Right. The neck injury is a work, but the ankle injury, he's gonna be laid up for a little bit. Which is fine. I hate to say it though. I was joking the whole time during the end of the promo where he started saying, you know, I keep saying I want one more match for the title, but at this point, I would just want one more match doing anything. The moment he started turning around on the crutch, I was waiting for him to get brogue kicked
or KO'd by Big Show, who is on the rampage.
Hmm.
And I think this was smart by WWE.
Go ahead.
Not having Henry and Show have another confrontation, so the bad blood is even boiling more. So that means we're going to have a monstrous fight. I'm not talking about a wrestling match. I'm talking about just a fight going on at Survivor Series. It's going to go 15, 20 minutes, but it's going to be a nice, brutal fight.
Yeah. So since Mark Henry didn't, you know, Mark Henry and Big Show didn't cross paths, Mark Henry was taking it out on Daniel Bryan. I hear groans from you guys, but we're planting the seeds here. We're going to start turning some stuff. Well, I think this is planting the seeds of starting to turn things around for Bryan, because now we've got something to be sympathetic for. I mean, he just got murdered for something that happened 2 weeks ago that kind of really wasn't his idea or even his fault, which is kind of the other reason why Show's so pissed, because he's like, well, you know, I'm an idiot. I could, you know, why did I do that? You know, why did I try to goad Bryan into cashing in, especially when he barely knew what planet he was on, much less which brand he was working for.
Still can't tell nowadays who's working for which brand.
Well, in some cases, yeah. But in the case of Bryan, you don't see him on Raw very often. But I think they're going to start turning things around, because now he has the attention of the world champion, because he's just been piddling around in the mid-card, just showing off the fact that he has this shiny bright blue briefcase that he's not doing anything with, because he's a face, so he's not going to hit anybody with it.
Mm-hmm.
But now the current champion's scared of him. Thus why he mangled the poor boy and left him to AJ. So that gave Mark Henry something to do. It also gave Big Show something to do, so the feud could end at Survivor Series and Mark Henry and Daniel Bryan start butting heads. That's going to hurt poor Daniel Bryan, but I just think that's, you know, I just think it's just a nice little tweak in there. But the rest of the show, as I was saying, was focusing a lot on the 5-on-5. We got to see everyone who's involved in that. I'm a little, you know, I'm going to revisit the thing about the U.S. title match. I'm a little perturbed that sounds more like an afterthought. And despite Ryder saying Manhattan Screwjob all over his Twitter,
mm-hmm.
I have a feeling his wish is going to come true anyway, because it's New York City. It's a smartastic crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I expect everybody in MSG chanting, "We want Ryder," all through the damn match, which is going to drive me a little nuts. It's just going to drive Jomo nuts. But we'll see if that actually turns into something. Because if they really want to start a riot in the garden, picture this. Just work with me, guys.
Okay.
Ziggler and Jomo are having a good match, or you know, having a fair match. Through a good 5 minute stretch of the match, "We want Ryder" chant erupts, and if it's the Smarks that I know and love, it's going to be loud. It's not going to go away. It's not going to matter what Ziggler or Jomo are doing. Match gets interrupted by Super Dave, who is going to say, "You can chant that all you want. I didn't even let Zack Ryder in the building."
Then I imagine 100 people going, jumping the barrier and destroying Laurinaitis.
Mm-hmm. All it would take is a little kid to do it on a skateboard, I thought. Talk about Sockable for a little bit. Hey, Funk Man!
By the way, here's my thinking, and you better hope for Morrison that doesn't happen, because that might be the last straw for Morrison scene. Because if you remember a year ago, you know how much the Smarks loved Morrison.
Yes, and they should, they personally, I think they should still love him, because he just hasn't had the opportunity. And in fact, the few people started to wake up when he had his little comeback revenge match against Truth. But it didn't go anywhere, so the Smarks stopped caring.
Here's my thinking. That's going to be the last straw for Morrison, and he's not going to come back. He's going to go away. Where is he going to go, you ask? Probably back in the arms of Melina, and maybe do some independence. I highly doubt he's going to go to TNA. Because I don't think they'd even want him.
Here.
Well, they might take him. The problem is, I don't think he'd want to go, because he knows that he ain't going to get paid squat.
No, I think Bischoff said in an interview, if Jomo came knocking, he wouldn't take him, because he's got some major baggage in Molina. Because I think Jomo would want to have a package deal where if they take him, they'd have to take Molina.
Bischoff has said he wouldn't
touch Molina.
That's to assume if they're an item. I don't know that they are. I thought that was kind of disproven.
I thought that was all taken care of. That those two are done. That they're not even together. I mean, I'm sure the suggestion might come up.
Sure.
But for Morrison's sake, I think that's kind of the other reason right now that he's been doghoused, is just the fact that Melina followed him to a show after she'd been released, which is a big no-no.
Yeah, Melina's never coming back.
No, they won't take her back, because no amount of wellness testing can cure that kind of crazy.
That's exactly right. See, Morrison should just stick with Zach's dad and they'll go straight to the top. I mean, come on.
I'm with it.
He's
I'd say, yeah. Jomo Sapien. Anyway,
however, you know what it might be interesting to see for Jomo?
Chat.
If he does resign with WWE, I'd have him, maybe a gimmick change might be in order, or just an emphasizing more of the Zen Meister or the Parkour Master, John Morrison.
Well, see, that's what I've been clamoring for a while. I want him to go back to the existential guru kind of thing that he was doing early on with the Morrison character. That way, you know, people make fun of his promos. Well, this time at least it's on purpose. I want to hear. I want to start hearing about the Palace of Wisdom again. You know, I want to hear something just, you know, goofy and out there, and let us draw our own conclusions.
Hey, it worked for the Ultimate Warrior.
Well,
see, the thing is, though, Jomo's not going to make up words.
And he won't just completely go batshit crazy either, by the same token, I don't think.
No, see, that's the thing. The wellness policy will keep him from taking anything that's going to make him go that batshit.
Yeah. So.
So, God bless. Well, actually, I am going to, since we are talking about Survivor Series, for any of our listeners, if you are interested, this Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, which means 6 p.m. my time, we are going to do a little pick 'em show leading up to the pre-show for Survivor Series. VRM, who had to step away, will be joining us. I've got to figure out who else I want on the show. I will have that up soon, promise.
Okay.
To come in and get our pick 'ems down for Survivor Series. Statboy, since you're not going to be there, you got any suggestions for some of the points we're going to do?
Right now, I can see at least 8 points on that card. Maybe 9.
Okay. Shoot me some of your ideas. I think I know where some of these are, because I know we're gonna. I know that the tag match will be a two pointer.
Yes.
The Survivor Series could be a two or three pointer.
Yes, it actually could go even higher than that. The Survivor Series match may be just a loaded gun. So I'll go ahead and fire them my ideas off to you. Expect them in a few minutes.
I appreciate it.
By the way, how many matches are on the Survivor Series card right now? Six?
Exactly.
It's six now, because they added the Divas title match and then they added the U.S. title match.
Yeah.
Speaking of, here's my response. DJ texted me back. He said Jimmy and BJ Whitmer were at the Ring of Honor event just visiting.
Redneck Messiah.
I don't remember much of BJ Whitmer. I do remember buying the first Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And just see him getting manhandled by the Kashi Norishima, or whatever, the Japanese Stan Hansen, I like to call him.
Well, I got to see him at a show. The first Ring of Honor show I attended, I actually met him there. He was injured, so he didn't work the show. A.K.A. Evan Bourne, Colt Cabana, which the picture didn't come out.
Right.
One of the Briscoes, and we got to listen to Homicide just completely flip his shit. Well, it was an early. The show was in early October. You've got to understand.
Oh, I remember this time period. This was building up to Final Battle, where he was going to fight Danielson and.
Dude, this wasn't even kayfabe. This was after the show. He was flipping his shit because the Yankees had been eliminated from pennant contention.
Yeah,
that's what he was flipping his shit about. Because I ran into him at a TNA event a couple of months later, and I was trying to give him hell about it. He says, "Don't you talk about my Yankees?" I didn't feel like getting hurt.
Knowing Homicide, and some of the matches he's done, I'd be worried if he's got a nice little box cutter in him right now.
Oh, I'm sure he would have had something handy, and because I also remember kidding, since I ran into him at a meet and greet, he was at a table with Hernandez, and Jim Cornette was at the next table over, and I was like, do you feel even remotely comfortable sitting there? He says, not really, but we got plenty of security. I'm not too worried. So, let's see. Survivor Series being a big four pay-per-view, they're actually doing a couple of promotional events in New York City. You'll have to pardon me while I turn on the sarcasm. It seems that WWE is taking some of their poorer, lesser-known talents, guys that are just having such a hard time on television, if you heard the way the IWC talks about these poor guys, and throwing them a bone by letting them go out and do all the promotional stuff and sign some autographs and shake some hands and take some pictures. I mean, really, CM Punk needs the airtime. Zack Ryder needed the FaceTime. He needed to really get it out there and remind people that, yeah, he's still on the roster.
Your acting Hart. Skills, your acting skills could use some work.
Are you serious, bro?
Jimmy Hart needed the job. Oh, no, wait, actually, that's real. Never mind.
Yeah.
That's delicious, baby.
There,
yeah.
So yes. While I playfully thumb my nose at the IWC, the fact that yes, poor buried CM Punk is getting a WWE title shot, and poor Zack Ryder is probably going to end up crashing the U.S. title match, and somebody's going to turn it into a triple threat anyway. So
Yep, Punk actually did kind of a Q&A, and one of WrestleChat's correspondents, Stacy, I hope I don't botch her last name, Podelsky, I believe it's pronounced, she put out, she was there, she took some video of Punk, and one of the topics somebody inevitably brought up, the ice cream bars, and he mentioned how he's really legitly lobbying for the ice cream bars to come back.
Talk to Blue Bunny, dude. Talk to Blue Bunny.
Well, that's what... Well, he said try to talk to the people who made the original bars, company.
Good
humor.
Good humor?
Humor, yeah. Twitter, you know, Twitter bomb them, he was even saying pretty much, so...
I thought Good Humor shut him down, pretty much said, no, not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, he was telling the people, you know, hey, rise up, that kind of thing. Occupy ice cream bars, I don't know. So...
That's probably an Occupy movement I could get behind.
Indeed.
I think we could all get behind it.
Yep.
I think everybody's already behind it. We just haven't quite gathered yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But,
If we get the ice cream bars back, world peace is not far behind. I'm just saying.
Well, I think it would definitely resolve... The war of wrestling fans.
Yeah,
and then
we can
start reaching out to other fans with the ice cream bars because, I mean, who doesn't like ice cream?
Well, exactly.
Somebody
like cream,
who is lactose intolerant?
Well, those people don't count. Just call them. Yeah, that's well said. Rob's always been a Debbie Downer, hasn't he, folks?
I wasn't going to say it.
That's why I did.
And oddly enough, I don't even don't know how I lasted 130-plus shows hosting this show.
Well, at least you're honest. That's good. We're only kidding, Rob. Only kidding.
Yeah.
That's why there was a rebellion?
Yes. That's a good word.
And college?
Yes.
Well, that too. That too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a matter that, I don't know. It just got a little heated around here.
See you in hell, dead man!
Oh, my.
What the hell? You don't remember that?
See you in hell, dead man?
The Triple H Undertaker feud from 2002. Mm-hmm. Right around King of the Ring.
Oh, that's right. It was a three-way dance for the title, Undertaker, Trips, and Rock.
And this particular promo was essentially Hunter had gotten his hands on a handheld camera, propped it up somewhere, shouted into it, "See you in hell, dead man," and smashed the camera with a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
Very gratifying. I would like.
Poor camera.
I would. Yes, poor camera. Indeed, poor camera. Yes, confirmation 2002. It had to be because Hunter was out most of 2001.
Right.
Or it could have been the lead up to their WrestleMania match at WrestleMania X7, which was a damn good match, by the way.
Oh yeah. Too bad they didn't want to talk about it leading up to WrestleMania 27. Anyway.
Maybe it was a good thing they didn't.
Well, speaking of old footage, I'm going to jump back to MMA briefly just because somebody finally did me the favor and posted the Brock Lesnar promo that I have been hawking about for so long.
Okay.
And I posted it on my Facebook. This was essentially the one where Brock is sitting there doing curls with the lighting scaffold.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody finally put it up, and if you've watched it, you know, come on, guys. Are you, you know, it scared me. I don't care what Bull Miller says. That was probably real scaffolding. He's like, oh, it's gimmicked. No.
And knowing Brock at that time?
No, that's real scaffolding, because Brock's a scary monster.
I was about to say that.
Brock is a big scary monster who, you know, who ate stagehands for lunch. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah, the only thing that could tame him was the NFL. Oops.
Ooh.
Oh, that's him out. I'm sorry. Oh.
That's not very nice.
Or Rena Mero, for that matter.
That one actually stuck.
Yes. Oh, dear.
Thinking he could have done better. I mean, can't do much worse. I mean, Missy Hyatt was still around.
Oh, God. Well, nah, too easy. Nah.
No. Behave yourself, Jim.
I am. Trying to get the image of how she looks in her recent U shoot. Oh, God.
Brain bleach!
Double order.
Try the pajama party video with Amy Lee and Lacey Von Erich.
Whoa. Pajama party?
No.
No.
Face palm.
Yeah, well.
Face palm my existence.
Yeah.
So. No, I'm gonna dog on Raw one more time. Personally, because that show would have been fine if it was a 2-hour show. They had 35 minutes of wrestling over a 3-hour, over a 3-hour event.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Time out. 35 minutes of wrestling over a 3-hour event? That sounds like TNA numbers.
Precisely. So what this leads back to my original complaint when we were talking about the Muppets Raw, that the Muppets should have gotten a 3-hour show and Rock could have had a 2-hour show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, agreed.
The fact that, we came up with, a month worth of Muppet material.
Mm-hmm. And sadly, they didn't use some of it.
No, yeah. But, props for Sheamus and Beaker.
Indeed. They'll fill up.
So, what was the other joke that I saw about that?
Michael one. The Statler and Waldorf one.
Well, not that one too. But no, there was something coming up. Do we have another guest host coming up for Raw?
Oh, God, Seth Rogen. Next.
Yes.
Week.
Oh yeah.
Skinny Seth Rogen, which is even worse than Fat Seth Rogen. Yes.
And
why? Somebody explain that one to me, please.
I don't know why he's hosting. Couldn't tell you. Probably to promote a movie. Is it him or is it Jonah Hill as a cartoon? I can never tell the two apart.
Jonah Hill's the cartoon.
Okay. I thought Seth had one on MTV. Maybe that.
Wait a minute.
As well.
And it is Jonah Hill. It is Jonah Hill that's supposed to be on next week.
Doesn't matter. It's still going to suck.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Because...
Jonah Hill movies. Here's the thing. I get kidded a lot for having Jonah Hill's hair during Superbad.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm kind of ashamed to actually have his hair. Seen how bad Superbad was and how the rest of his movies freaking sucked.
Poor McLovin.
I would like to happily proclaim that I have never seen him in a movie.
You're lucky.
I will suggest seeing Moneyball. That's one of his only good roles.
Oh, wait, no, okay, then I lie. I saw Moneyball.
Yeah, great film.
Which actually was a lot of fun, even if I'm not a baseball fan. But I like, I like sports history movies.
Right. Well, I mean, hell, I know just about everything that happened before I walked into the theater, and I still enjoyed it. So come on.
Oh, so how accurate was it?
It was fairly accurate. I mean, they went attention to detail in terms of every little thing, and I got a kick out of it. I mean, they even brought out the authentic Oakland announcers at that time for camera shots during the movie. They used the real stadium. They used the real facilities, and. It was very true to form.
Okay. I wanted a second opinion because I did enjoy the movie.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think I'd like Brad Pitt doing that, Billy Beane, but he did it well.
And, you know, Jonah Hill just makes a very good nerd.
Yes. And welcome once again to Nikki and Jim Present at the Movies.
Yeah, we're not trying to
better the two Bens.
We will be taking over for Ebert's what's her name and what's his name and
Christy Lemire and Ignatiev.
I can't say his last name either. I'm all about Christy. She's okay. Anyway, yeah. Jonah Hill on Raw. That's going to be horrible. Yeah, I got to agree with the consensus. Mm-hmm.
Because
it's going to draw good ratings because it's people want to find out what happened at Survivor Series.
Yeah, that's probably, you know what, Rob, that's probably why they put him on that specific week next week, this coming Monday, I should say, because, you know, he can't kill the show. He cannot be a true show killer there, but...
No, but I'll tell you what, you know, him and Michael Cole, in this particular case, this is one show where I'd like him and Michael Cole to both end up in a dumpster.
Hooray!
With Terry Funk, I'm sure. I'm sorry, Chase.
No,
I'm sorry.
No. I wasn't even going that way. I was thinking more of some other dumpster related hilarity.
What are you looking at?
I'm talking
thank
about
you,
the
Sean.
Coach in there. Anyway,
did we get
I'm
a
talking,
cameo from Duke? No, pal.
Well, I'm talking stuff like, you know, when they threw, when they literally threw Bischoff away, or when
Bischoff,
DX,
yeah.
Okay.
Or when DX threw Coach and, you know, stuffed Coach in a dumpster.
What about throwing Coach through the wall?
Well, that too, but, you know,
and
if
paying his dues and now gets on SportsCenter, good for him.
But since I don't think I'm going to get Jonah Hill and Michael Cole stuffed in a road case to be shipped back to FCW.
Because Michael Cole in this case is just too fat.
Yeah, him at 200 looks worse than JR at 240, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good for JR.
Oddly enough, Bob Eubanks sounded more manly when he was being body slammed by Mount Fuji than Michael Cole was taking the Anaconda fight.
There you go.
Well, and unfortunately, the Anaconda Vice was only one of an entire locker room full of finishers that I want Michael Cole to take every night for about a year.
I want him to take the Tombstone Pile Driver.
I'd like him to take the Owen Hart version.
Oh, I knew that was coming. That's
what about the Masahiro Chono version?
Ouch. Ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
I don't know which one's worse. No, how about this? The Rick Rude Gonzo Bomb.
Oh, man.
Ouches. No, well, worse comes to worse. What was his partner's name?
Break him off the mat, he's done.
No. I want somebody to give Cole the Taka Michinoku elimination.
Hey!
Michinoku driver!
I tell
ya. Yeah.
Hey!
What the fuck was that?
The wipeout sound from the old game show Wipeout.
I think
used to be frightened of that.
I take
offense. Now I remember why.
Okay, fine. Then I'll just sum it up. Just how much I like or dislike Mr. Cole.
Poopy.
Okay.
Okay. That's fair. Jesus Christ, Peter Clark game shows gave me the willies as a kid.
Yeah, so let me get this. So Josh, Stat Boy Josh Henniger was afraid of Locati rugs all his life. Aww.
No, the whammy noise as a kid. Now I'm fine with it.
Okay.
The wipeout, not so much.
Locati rugs, yes.
Fucking Locati rugs. Always wiping out the money.
and he leads a curious life. He parties like a rock star. Seems a groovy kind of guy.
All right, I think we've
wiped out on this show here now.
We've beaten up Michael Cole enough. Jim, I'm sure you've got some more stuff to plug before we go.
Let's see. Well, if you haven't had a chance to listen to it already, I was on Pop to Reality, which you heard promo during our commercial break. Give it a listen, blogtalkradio.com/pop2reality. I talk about the whole Penn State scandal with the hosts Jeff and Mark for a good 20 minutes. Good discussion. They're great hosts. They were very cordial and, good people. And, of course, FFL Live comes your way Sunday. I am the new temporary or perhaps permanent host of that show, 12 noon Eastern. To 1 p.m., Jason Block will probably be there, VRM maybe, and Brian Henniger with a folding chair or something. And again, one more time, buy the T-shirt, bro! Nikki Effenhamen at WilliamsWare.CLW83.com.
Don't forget to buy the Sparky and the High T-shirts from Game Show Garbage at the same site.
Yeah, what he said. Roadhouse.
Is that boy anything to plug?
Nothing except for please. Pray for me next Friday, because I'm going to be swamped at Walmart.
Can you reserve a TV for me, those $99 ones?
Those 19-inchers, unfortunately, I cannot, because I'm nowhere near Leesburg, New Jersey.
You suck, man.
Sorry.
Can I plug Game Show Garbage? We're going to have a great shakes. It's a crappy match game clone induction this week.
Oh, it's Yahtzee! Oh, boy.
Yikes.
Yes.
All right, I'm told that we got 10 seconds, so we better get out of here. Gentlemen,
bye.
It's been a blast. Good night, everybody.
See ya.
December 2nd.
Numero 200.
You're going down.
199.5 coming up Sunday night.
Unfortunately, some of this ended up in archive, but that's okay.
Whatever.
But you're right, 199.5. This Sunday, the Survivor Series Pick'em Show, 7 o'clock Eastern. Yes, we're only going to go 30 minutes, so we can't screw around too much. Stat Boy,
want to give Jack Rapella his due.
I've already got your points up at Facebook.
Yes.
9 in total.
Okie dokie.
Many moves coming
out. I will take a look at those. Stepboy, if you can make it, that'd be great. Jim?
I'm going to be just getting out of work then, so chances are it's pretty bad.
I should be available.
Okay. VRM obviously will be there, and I will probably
Block
just...
actually going to the show?
No. Because it's sold out. As far as I know, he's not going to go back downtown to try to get to the show. Because when the on sale happened, I actually told him if he actually scored 3 tickets to get in touch with me, I would have found a way out there.
Of course.
Because then I would have just had all of Thanksgiving week off, fly back from New York to Minnesota, get some stuff wrapped up, and then fly home for Thanksgiving.
There you go.
So, gentlemen. I hate to do this, but I've been up since 8 o'clock this morning.
No problem. Understood. Besides, I have games to announce tomorrow. Yay!
I have a website I gotta work on tomorrow.
And I don't have a dumb answer for it this week, so...
There were no dumb answers this week, Jim. That's the thing.
That's what I'm getting at, yeah.
I have a dumb answer for you.
Uh-oh.
Yippee.
Oh!
I'm sorry, poop is just plain fun. Hence, I often find myself playing Game of the States.
Poopy.
That's right. You just predict which state you're going to make a...
Poopy.
Out of, and if you do so, you get a point. Use your imagination to remember protectorates count as well.
Yikes.
Guam is easy. California, Idaho, those are tough. That's what I'm told.
On that brown note.
There you go. There's the brown note.
Poopy.
Okay.
No, I know how to get you off track. So you just, I'm gonna call your shows at random, and I'm gonna start doing that to you.
Yes, let's go from the there you go. You're on FFL Live, Pimpy.
Why not money, success, fame, bronies?
I'm not big on that song, I gotta say. Not really. No.
No, I couldn't do that to him because that I will get hung up on. At least
at
with
well, him. And I'll throw cans.wave at you. So there you go. That's right.
No, that might be the only time Nikki herself gets pony kicked.
What?
Yeah. You never know.
I'm not putting up with that. I didn't hear that.
Can't hear you. Oh, I'm asleep.
Thank you, Applejack.
Let's run out of here before.
On that, definitely, I'm out of here.
There's next week for the next Dog and Brony show. We'll see you then. Sunday night, actually.
See everybody Sunday.
Bye, the Brony show. Good night.
Whatever that means.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, Nikki.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.